and it's opening day on the South Side. We're live on 720 WGN.
We are live in action, Billy Left. Billy Left gives up.
Wait a second.
He gives up a signal to. What is the quote from?
Wait a minute. There goes the perfect game.
From Major League.
Wait till next year.
Billy Left gives up a double to.
I've never seen it. I've heard it's a fantastic movie, Wendy, but I've not had a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
Major League 1 or 2?
Neither of them.
I've seen them. I love them.
I'm so caught up, and this is us. I don't have time. There's just not enough time in the day. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's our friend Steve Bertrand. Guess where we are? At Cork and Carey, just a stone's throw from beautiful White Sox Park. It's right there.
30 Princeton.
Yeah.
The neighborhood right around. Because I was lost.
Why were you lost?
I had a wrong address. But
All right. Well, it's Cork and Carey at the park. It's
right.
Your go-to spot for ice-cold Goose Island beer before and after every game and right now. I have one right in front of me.
Just to be safe.
Hunting for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to open.
You could have some.
I got to open.
It's opening day. Open your beer.
All right, hang on. God, everybody got quiet for that.
The ceremony.
There we go.
There it is.
Woo!
Now we've got a shot.
Let's go.
Chug.
Stop. Oh, my God, is that refreshing?
Isn't that good?
Good.
They serve it up cold here.
If you start your work day in the company of the CEO and the brain trust behind Goose Island, that's not bad.
Right.
That's not bad.
Right. And we've been told, Wendy, that when you finish that one, they have another one for you.
I got to fit a Bloody Mary in here somewhere.
Oh, well, finish that.
Please, a Bloody Mary for the spider. Please.
Really?
Have all five food groups.
It's like putting a nickel in me.
I know it is. You know what's cool about living in this area? People always talk about how Wrigley is right in the middle of the neighborhood, and you don't always think about White Sox Park being in the middle of the neighborhood, but we're two blocks from the park. We're a block and a half away. There's all kinds of homes right here, and I kept thinking as I'm driving in, if you were a White Sox fan, every day to look out your window and see White Sox Park, how inspirational.
I used to park right down, like a couple blocks from here, down the canal, down the railroad tracks. You know, back when we'd park down there and, you know, park for free in the street somewhere and wind our way through the neighborhood to come to the ball games. It's great to be back in here.
Isn't it funny how I imagine they still do this when I was a kid and we had season tickets. You would park six blocks away and then the path was kind of a bizarre route. If you go straight way to get there, it was like a five, even though you were six blocks away, it was a 5 mile walk to get to the park.
It was the side of a Sox fan. It's like find a parking and then get you to Comiskey.
I love it here. I feel like I'm at one with the earth on the South Side.
Yeah.
I'm a Sox fan, and it's about time that WGN has the White Sox on their radio.
The crowd, strangely, in agreement with you. I didn't see that coming.
Every time they cheer, you have to take another turn. That's the game.
You know, you don't have to twist my arm.
Right. It's an easy sell. It really is. All sorts of White Sox-related topics and guests on the show. Somebody from the White Sox front office will explain their public relations ideas for us for this season. By the way, the first place Chicago White Sox. It's fun
How
to say that, isn't it?
Thank you very much.
They're tied for first place with the lowly Minnesota Twins.
The Twins won't last.
No.
They're not going to stay up there like that. No.
No. They always have a good first five games,
exactly.
And then they fizzle.
Right. A couple rainouts, they're done.
I'm not worried. We'll also find out what new foods are available at White Sox Park. Every year they go out of their way. They're really one of the best in baseball at providing interesting cuisine for the baseball fans, so we'll talk about that. It looks like, Wendy, Ed Farmer will be joining us.
Farmio will be in the house here at Cork and Carey at the park. So come join us. We're going to be out here actually throughout the day. Steve Cochran started the morning show today in booth 6, I believe, at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Five booths away from Cup. Cup always has booth 1. Cochran always has booth 6. What does that tell you?
That Cochran isn't
as important as the late Cup.
And I love the sound when they smash Cup at the end of the game. The ones that
are right. That's always fun.
And Steve Bertrand's going to be here doing the Wintrust business lunch. Then John Williams is stopping by, and Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis and everyone.
Oh, Ro and Anna might be along for a bit, but the ball game starts just after 3.
So just after 3. And it's looking like there was some talk that today's game might be colded out or snowed out or rained out or something. It's pretty clear, and we're hoping for the best.
The snow's supposed to come in at, what time is first pitch? 3:10?
Right around that.
That's when the snow's supposed to come in.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I was listening to Ed Farmer the other day talking nostalgically about the baseball glove he had as a child. And I already loved Ed Farmer, but it turns out he and I, strangely, have the same baseball glove, the same brand of baseball glove. I don't think we shared the actual glove itself.
What was it?
The Wilson J2000. Wilson A2000. A2000 or J2000?
I had a McGregor. Oh, I remember those.
I just ran across it. It's in my basement.
You still have it.
What's that about? Like, I thought my son might play it in a place, and I've got a McGregor mitt in the basement.
Did you do the thing in the off season where you'd put a baseball in the glove and you'd put rubber bands around
to keep it straight?
To keep it straight.
Don't forget the linseed oil.
Oh, yeah, you got to spray
you
that.
You did? I had a McGregor, by the way, too. Thanks for including
me. You did?
Yes. I played catch.
You don't seem a McGregor person.
No, I didn't seem a McGregor.
It was my brother's hand-me-down.
I saw Rawlings for you for some reason.
Because I was a tall and gangly kid, I also always played first base.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
So I had...
First baseman Steve Burchard. Right. I see that.
This is really... I don't mean to put you guys down, but I had a Sears first baseman's glove.
Oh, you see a lot of the pros now, Steve, putting the Sears first baseman glove.
Although they call it Willis.
Right. They changed it.
You know what you should do today, and anyone who's listening who hasn't been at the old home plate from Comiskey, which is now in front of Guaranteed Rate Field, you should go take your photo there.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. It's still up there.
Yeah. It's really cool, and, you know, it's a great photo op where, you know, you have somebody pretend they're at bat. And
yeah.
The other, you know, I have two boys, so one pitched and one pretended to bat.
That's a photo op
nice forever. Photo op.
Do you remember there was a very brief period where old Comiskey was still up and the new White Sox Park was right next to it, and it was such a strange visual to see two major league ballparks acting back right there, right next to each other.
One of the best improvements at the now Guaranteed Rate Field, and if people are listening, do you remember when they just built this one and the seats in there were blue, and it was so like cubby blue, and then all of a sudden they turned it to green, and then it was no more Cubs. I'm here to patron today.
There's a little bit of bitterness. There's just enough bitterness.
The ship comes off.
I know.
So do you think that somebody higher up in the White Sox office said, hey, maybe that shade of blue isn't in our best interest. We should really go with a different color, or what happened?
I do know that Jimmy Mack told somebody at the old field that blue is not good.
I think they did a pretty big rebuild a few years in.
Yeah.
I was at the first game up there Cell in the upper deck, and it was, you know, pretty steep.
Very steep.
Did your nose start bleeding?
No.
Because mine did.
No, really?
I know, but I went down to get a beer, and I never went back up. It was really
tall. That could be your autobiography right there.
Your pamphlet.
Yeah, that would be your pamphlet.
But they did remove some of those top rows because it was really like straight down.
Oh, nice.
And did you go to the last game at the old Comiskey and the first game?
I did.
I didn't
go to the last game, I don't think, but I went to the first game at the new ballpark.
It felt
with my dad. It was great.
Oh.
That's sweet.
It felt too important an event in Chicago history if you had the opportunity to do it, to go to the last game at the old park and the first game at the new park. It just felt like, that's what you do. Why wouldn't you do it?
I mean, I grew up with Sox fans, and we'd come up to remember the Kansas City Royals doubleheaders?
Yes.
In the 70s, Freddie Pottak.
Yes.
Was it Amos Otis?
Amos Otis, Gail Hopkins.
And those Frank White.
Amos Otis, I love
Otis.
That name.
Amos Otis. He used to have a bag of cookies by him on second base. Who wants a famous Amos Otis cookie?
I forget, there's a guy. There's a kid named Danny Benoit who just had a new car.
Yeah.
And I was the kid in the car, like 5 years younger than everyone else. We're sitting in the outfield, and he's got this new Granada or something.
Oh.
And all I wanted to do was get under Bill Beck's shower. And I was threatened with my life if I did that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It is weird. You said you grew up with Sox fans. Same with the political atmosphere. You usually are what your parents or your grandparents are. And I know that my grandfather was there with this little tiny black and white TV with a coat hanger for the antenna on channel 44. And it's like, who are you going? Who are you voting for? Who are you for? You know, and he'd say, the White Sox and whoever's playing the Cubs. Every time.
Were those the days when Jack Drees was calling the games? Do you remember for a while there was a man named Jack
Drees?
A very kind man. Didn't have the dynamic personality of a Harry Carey. But, he did a couple of years as White Sox broadcaster.
I remember the Harry.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We're here at Cork and Carey. Please come on out if you're anywhere near the area. We're at 3259 South Princeton. We'd love to see you. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Steve Bertrand on WGN.
And it is the White Sox home opener. We are live in action. White Sox is Carey at the Park, your coach's spot for high school at Goose Island Beer, and it's still called, before or after every game. And it's Bill Love, it's Wendy Snyder, Steve Bertrand is with us, and a special guest just walked by.
It's our friend Dave Ennett. Dave, welcome.
How are you?
Thank you. It's great to be here. The first place Chicago White Sox.
How about that?
How about that?
It's great. And it's a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
Opening day, there's always a certain excitement. You guys have been to a lot of openers. I've been to a lot of openers. Steve has too. And, you know, it's there's just something different about it. And it's hard to describe sometimes. The opener gets analyzed and overanalyzed to the nth degree.
Yeah, right.
And if they win, too much gets read into it. And if they lose, I remember the first game in this ballpark. I think they lost 16-0 or something.
It was a terrible slaughter.
Something like that. But you know what? It's one game out of 162.
How big of a difference does it make that the White Sox have so much momentum? And I don't just mean that they're in first place after 5 days. I just mean that it's a young team, probably the best farm system in all of baseball. That adds to the excitement, doesn't it?
No question about it. But I think that Ron Kittle, when he was up with us this morning in the booth, put it very well. He said, look, these guys are going to understand. You're going to get your butt kicked a lot.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, and it happens to the best teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you win 100, you're still losing 60 times, 62 times.
Right.
So, I mean, and this team isn't a 100-win team. But that's not to say that they haven't shown the ability, not just to win games, but to be in games. That's what you want. You want to give yourself a chance in the late innings because you've got guys on this team who can hit it out of the ballpark, as we saw last night.
What's the wild card to this year's White Sox team? Is there one thing that they have in their back pocket ready to play at any time?
The wild card, I think it's probably the power.
Yeah.
They've out-homered their opponents so far 14-6,
mm-hmm.
which is weird because they haven't outscored their opponents, but they've out-homered them. And
right.
I think anytime that you have that kind of power and you have a lot of guys who can hit the ball out, I think that's a wild card. The other wild card would be the guys who haven't come up yet, but who could, like Michael Kopech or Eloy Jimenez down the road, your top prospect still in the minors. So maybe that's also a wild card for you, depending on how things go.
I'm thinking it might be a little chilly today. Right now it's beautiful. The sun's out. It's a crisp baseball
day. Play ball, Dave. Play ball. We're ready.
You know what? Every opening day in Chicago, I can count on one hand the number of times it's been sunny and 70 degrees on opening day.
So what do you remember? Do you remember the nice days on opening day? No, I remember the snow, right? I remember seeing snow in Milwaukee.
They got snowed out here last year. Now, I will tell you, I was at opening day, I think, 1978.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the bleachers at Old Comiskey Park, and Ron Bloomberg was the big offseason acquisition for the White Sox. The first designated hitter in the majors. And he came from the Yankees, signed as a free agent with the White Sox, hit it out of the park. I think it was a walk-off homer in the 10th inning or something. And it was 70 and sunny that day. That's the one. I can remember it for those two reasons.
Didn't we get the Yankees' two best? We got Bloomberg and we got Bobby Mercer, right? We got their two best power hitters.
Bobby Mercer was, with the Cubs.
He was with the Cubs in
77.
You're very rarely wrong.
By the way, he wasn't one of the Yankees' best hitters by the time he came to the Cubs. Yankees
didn't
let those guys go.
Yeah.
You know, I have a question for you, Dave Bennett, because you are the only one that I feel can answer this where I understand it.
Because I'm old enough.
No, because you get it. I was talking to my husband, Jimmy, back on the way here, and last night I was quizzing him on White Sox trivia because I wanted to have some in my arsenal for later if necessary. And, you know, of course, the White Sox beat the Houston Astros in 2005 for the World Series championship. They were in a different league at the time?
Yeah, Houston moved over to the American League. The Brewers now are in the National League. They were in the American League.
And Bobby Mercer did it one year. Remember that?
Bobby Mercer went from the Yankees to the Cubs.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but
why do you change leagues? Why does that happen?
Well, I think part of it with Houston may have been to create more of a rivalry with the Texas Rangers, who are also in the American League. But I think at some point it's not really going to matter all that much as interleague play has grown. Yeah, I don't think it the first years of interleague play, it was a big deal when an American League team was playing a National League team. And now you still have the Cubs play the White Sox. It still tends to be a big deal. Not as big as it was, but I think that it's the line has been blurred. No question about it.
I think sometimes you just wake up and you're no longer in love.
That's what happens.
You need to change things
up. You're such a romantic. Yeah.
You bring up a good point, Steve. You really do. You have a busy day today, right? Isn't there stuff going on in Northwestern that you're shooting?
Actually, Northwestern is going to dedicate the new Ryan Fieldhouse in Wilson Field, which you've seen, I think, on the lakefront there. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's going to be the new practice facility for Northwestern football. A number of their teams are going to use it. It's going to be used for a lot of purposes by the university community, but they're dedicating it at 4 o'clock this
afternoon. You'll be there for that.
I will be there for that. So that actually, that kind of, I asked the White Sox if they could move the game a little earlier.
They
said,
comply.
No, we're going with 3:10.
Monsters. Absolute monsters. If you could make a prediction for this year's White Sox team, what would that prediction be?
Well, I can tell you what I think an admirable goal would be. I think if you're 500, you're in the wild card picture late. Now, you might not win it, but you would be kind of in the conversation there.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a team which, if things fall right, if the starting pitching, which has been okay so far, if the starting pitching can hold up, and they're going to score runs, then I don't think that's an out of the question goal. And is that where you ultimately want to be? No, but I think for where they've been and where they're going, I think that's a respectable next step for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dave, great to see you. Thanks for coming.
Nice to see you guys. I'm a big fan.
Let's see you at it, Wendy. Let's see you at it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more White Sox talk. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Steve Bertrand, right here on WGN.
Fun at the home opener. Baseball is back in Chicago on the home of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
That's right. We are live in action. Let's hear you. We are at Cork and Carey at the park. It's your go-to spot for ice-cold Goose Island beer before and after every game. Can I mention, Bill, if Bill's here with me and Steve Bertrand, we are going to be giving away a four-pack of tickets for Sunday's White Sox game.
Right. I've come up with a question, Wendy, that only a true White Sox fan, only a diehard White Sox fan will know the answer to.
Bobby Mercer.
Oh, man! Steve, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're the winner of a family four-pack.
I'm enjoying an ice-cold Goose Island 312 Urban Wheat Ale, and can I just tell you that a big announcement today on opening day, Goose Island Beer Company is the new official craft beer partner of the Chicago White Sox.
What? Wendy.
It's delicioso.
Todd Ahman is here, the president of Goose Island. Were you aware of this? Did you know this was going to happen?
I'm a regular attendee of home openers.
Yeah?
No, it was a surprise. No, of course.
Shocked by this news.
We've been working on it for a while.
Yeah, oh, excellent. Congratulations.
Dream come true for us.
Very good.
That's
so the players will be able to have beer now with them on the field, right? That's the first time that's ever happened in Major League Baseball.
Cooler in the clubhouse.
Excellent.
What's
good.
The story? Was it Babe Ruth who left to have a beer? What's
with Toots McCutty. Put Toots McCutty on his lap at McCutty's, yeah.
And
but it's
seriously?
Impossible.
There's no way that happened.
I met Toots. When they tore down the old park, I had a brick, and I had Toots McCutty sign the brick.
All right. McCutty's existed. There's no doubt
about
that.
Toots's daughter. I don't know.
Yeah.
There couldn't be
enough time in a baseball game for a player to walk across the street, have a beer, come back, and take his position. It's impossible.
There is enough time to run out and have a smoke,
is that
and then you can come back.
Is that a wet blanket you're carrying around with
yes,
you?
It is.
Todd Osman with us, president of Goose Island. Congratulations. It's great news. I told you this off the air. I'm kind of scared to do it. I'm kind of a lightweight when it comes to drinking beer. I don't like something that's too bitter, too strong. This is absolutely crisp and delicious.
Yeah. So you're drinking 312 Urban Wheat Ale.
I've made the switch.
Well, the nice thing about Goose Island is you can find whatever you want because
they do have a big variety.
Absolutely.
Well, you can work your way up to Bourbon County Stout.
Except I'm a 708er. So can we
change take
it?
That beer away from her, Todd. She can't have that.
312 is a mindset.
That's the big thing now, isn't it? Bourbon beer or beer sort of
aged in bourbon barrels
and things like that.
Absolutely. We have the guy who started it all right over my shoulder here, Greg Hall, was the original guy that put beer into a bourbon barrel. Yeah, now you can find it all over it.
So it's a faint taste of bourbon. It's not an overpowering taste. It's just a slight trace, correct?
Yeah, if you're a bourbon fan, you definitely could recognize maybe which barrel it came out of.
Yeah.
And what I like about going to a White Sox game is the food at the park is really good. And also, it's, you know, people make fun of us Southside fans, you know, oh, they're just going to swill some beer. We have good taste. We want good beer. We want good food. So congratulations for joining the park.
Thank you. And we want good baseball. I think we're going to see that this year.
I think we are.
One of your compatriots over at Goose Island described this as a great beer to enjoy baseball with. What is it about the beer, the complexity of a beer that would make it susceptible to enjoying a baseball game?
It's cold.
It's cold.
It is cold.
That's one.
Cold,
that's good.
It fits in your hand.
also good.
Two, right?
This now, could last nine innings.
It is a very refreshing beer.
That is not going to last nine innings.
You know, Bill, you go 2 for 3 in baseball. That's
you're ahead.
That's big
success.
Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
not
too bitter. It's not too heavy. It won't fill you up. It's great for the sunshine.
Yeah.
And we are getting plenty of sunshine today. I know there's a blizzard that's supposedly coming our way. Whatever. Have a couple
we
of
can do it.
3-1-2s. We're fine.
How many different beers in the arsenal over at Goose Island right now?
I think we made 110 beers last year.
110 different beers.
Correct. But yeah, at any given time, you could probably walk into a store and buy about 25 to 30 different beers.
What's the most peculiar of the 110? What's the one that even you, a beer maven, goes, we'll try it, we'll see what happens?
Well, we do have a beer with ginger and kombucha coming out called Soleil this summer.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
Another very refreshing beer.
Yeah.
We just came out with a Scotch barrel-aged beer called Isla. That is a lot more character of Scotch in it than you would expect.
Are you doing any of the fruit-flavored ones? I know grapefruit's very popular right now. Berries are very popular in beer. Are you doing any of those?
We do. We have a bunch of fruit beers. We do it with our sour beers. We work with McClug Farms in Michigan and buy a lot
cherries.
Of cherries. Exactly, yep. Strawberries, raspberries, blackberries.
Beer-flavored beer.
Beer-flavored beer. Would you try something like that?
We've got that one covered, yep.
All right. I love the beer. It's really good. Congratulations. 312, you can find it in the 708 area code as well, correct?
Right.
Correct.
Yep.
Goose Island, it's Urban Wheat Ale. I see wheat, I get scared. It's not heavy.
Wendy doesn't want anything healthy in her beer, Todd. You can't let that happen.
It's sort of like, you know, waving the vermouth over a dry martini.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
It's for good luck. That's what it is. Todd, congratulations on this new partnership. This starts immediately. You guys, and the White Sox, Goose Island and the White Sox.
Official craft beer partner of the Chicago White Sox. It's Goose Island Beer Company.
Congrats.
And the president, Todd Osmond. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us. We'll take a quick break and then be back. We're right by White Sox Park. It's opening day. Bill and Wendy, WGN, for the first place Chicago White Sox. We couldn't be more excited. We're just about a block and a half from the ballpark at Cork and Carry, 33rd and Princeton. If you're in the area, stop on by. Enjoy an ice-cold Goose Island. We would love to see you. Let's talk to our next guest.
White Sox Director of Public Relations, Sheena Quinn, on the line with us. Sheena, I am just wearing all my White Sox memorabilia. I have my hoodie on. My baseball cap. Let's go White Sox. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Thanks for having us. Happy home opener.
How about it? It's pretty exciting for the home opener. What season is this with you as Director of Public Relations for the Chicago White Sox?
This is actually my fourth opening day. So I think my first one here was actually, it was actually snowing, like big globs of snowflakes, but we still got the game in. So I'm looking forward to seeing the sunshine today.
Was this your coldest opening day?
This morning felt like it was the coldest, but the sun feels pretty good, so I'm not complaining.
Now, what do you, I know this is probably a stupid question, but you're Director of Public Relations. What is it exactly that you do for the White Sox?
I feel like I have the best job in the world because nobody knows exactly what I do.
It's in the job description.
All the stuff that I handle is all the off-the-field stuff. So everything that, you know, we're working really closely with our partners over in the Community Relations Department and White Sox Charities. So anytime players go out into the community, we're working with them to make sure that causes that are really near and dear to them are being told through the media as well. And, you know, I get to do all the really fun stuff, too, like Dog Day, any really cool promotions that we have. coming out.
I have a new puppy, so I'm coming to Dog Day in the park this year. I'm going to do
it. Good. Good. Yeah, we have Dog Day is the best. It's like one of the favorites for all the fans. So, like, it starts off with that really great dog parade, so I hope you're going to be joining us for that because it's like the cutest. And even the guys in the clubhouse get really excited about it, too, because everybody's got their own furry pets at home.
And I'm married to a Star Wars fan, so I know you have Star Wars Days as well with a big parade with Darth Vader leading it.
Yeah, of course. Like, Star Wars Day and Elvis Night are always really, really popular ones for us. And, like, personally for me, last year I geeked out over Game of Thrones Night, which is coming back this season as well. So, I mean, I got my picture on the Iron Throne last year, and I was really, really loving that. It was really cool. So I'm excited to see that one come back to Guaranteed Rate Field, too.
Sheena, Star Wars Day is a natural because Darth Vader pretty much wears the White Sox colors on a daily basis. You can't go wrong there.
Yeah, he does. He does. So, you know, we love having him here leading that parade, too.
Yeah. Who decides? You know, the White Sox have a very young team this year. So talk about the decision process of how you market certain players. How do you know when a player is hot enough and savvy enough to handle an assignment where you're putting him out there maybe advertising products or getting his name on billboards for whatever reason?
Or on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Yeah. Or Jimmy Fallon show, excuse me.
Yeah,
so the Jimmy Fallon one was a really fun one a couple years ago when Jose Quintana was with the team, and we actually took him out there after it came out in like a media interview that he had actually learned English from watching Jimmy Fallon movies. So those are the things that I really kind of deal with. It's when something kind of naturally comes out in a media story, and we find really fun ways to kind of share it with the public and fans. So, you know, marketing-wise, I kind of leave those bigger decisions up to Brooks Boyer, who I think you guys are probably talking to a little bit later. But, you know, this particular team, we've got such a great group of guys who are all really, like, they're just bonding really well. I mean, I think if you follow any of them on social media, you'll see that they're all full of, like, different personalities and, but, like, giving each other, you know, a hard time, but also in a really fun and, like, loving way. So it's really, really cool to see them all kind of come together and become not only just friends, but really, really strong teammates. So you can just see the future is really bright with them.
And that's the thing. I mean, I've been a Sox fan my whole life, and I was happy for the Cubs last year, or 2 years ago. I really was.
You were happier from last year.
Yes, I was, because I didn't want to repeat. I'll admit that. Yeah. But, you know, in a weird way, you know, when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005, you had your characters. You had your A.J. Pierzynski, your Aaron Rowan, your Joe Creedy, Scotty Potts, Paul Konerko. You had these people that people could relate to. I think we're going to have that again. We're going to have personalities this year, aren't we?
Oh, for sure. I mean, some of the guys that, you know, are in our clubhouse right now, I mean, just Tim Anderson, for example. I mean, we've worked with him so closely over the last year to develop a program called League of Leaders, which is really near and dear to him. It's one that really just started after he lost his best friend to a really tragic incident involving gun violence, and he wanted to do something in his memory, in his name, in his legacy, but also making a difference. Tim and Bria, Tim's wife, have been such incredible ambassadors for just leading that cause, and it's something that they're really, really, truly passionate about. You know, Tim's got really big plans to carry it out throughout the season. I think at the end of last season, even in his hometown, he was carrying it back there with giving out free haircuts for kids going back to school. So, I mean, it's just little things like that where, you know, we've got really, really incredible guys who are, you know, everything from, like, caring about the community to, you know, Lucas Giolito, who's, like, a huge video gamer. Like, the guy is so smart that he could put together computers on his own if he wasn't playing baseball. It's just the amount of personalities that, you know, away from the field that you're seeing, it makes it really, really fun for fans to follow along and really hear from them.
You know, you mentioned a baseball player being good at video games. I mean, Bill, you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's like these are kids.
They
are
kids.
Young guys.
Absolutely.
Playing baseball.
Yep, so true. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think that's the best part about it. There's just so much energy, and, like, they're all really young guys who are just fired up to get out there, you know, and play for all the outs in the game.
Yep.
Sheena, talk about this. In the past, the White Sox have been great at coming up with marketing campaign catchphrases. Good Guys Wear Black is one of the best in baseball history. The kids can play a couple of years ago. What is this year's campaign catchphrase for the White Sox?
You know, I think we're just focusing on the message that Ricky Renteria is setting out for not only the clubhouse but the entire organization, and it's really been centered around the message that we hear Ricky talking about, which is Ricky's boys don't quit, right? We're going to go all in, and that goes from everybody within the organization to the players in the clubhouse. We're going to go out there, work hard for our fans, and give it everything that we got all year long, all season long. So, I mean, I think you can't find a better message than that.
How about this one? Renteria, buy a really good time. You can have that. That's my gift to you. You're welcome.
That's you know what? That's a really great idea. I'll take that one.
You're welcome.
To the marketing group and see how they like that. Let's see, and we'll give you credit.
Just wait for a standing ovation, Sheena. That's what you're going to get with that.
You mentioned Brooks Boyer earlier. I saw him on with Anabah Laval. How do you say her name again?
La 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 la.
Brooks was on with Anabah Laval this morning on WGN TV News, and that little lounge area where you can go in, it's all about social media and recharging your phone. Boy, how cool is that?
Yeah, you guys, that's going to be one for fans that they have to do this year. So the Revolution Brewing Sox Social Tap Room, that's one that has some really, really cool visuals for Sox selfies. So you can go in there. There's this really amazing turf wall that has the Sox logo in there that, you know, it's perfect for Instagram, Twitter, all of those great things that people are on. And then also you can go in there and get a beer, some food. They're going to have a great rotating menu in there of different food items that you can get at the ballpark. And then not to mention that, like on a day like today, you'll want to jump in there because it's warm. It's indoors. So it's
exactly
right in our, there's a staircase from our 100 level that leads right up to it, so you won't want to miss it. They're going to be doing things all season long that have, they're related to theme nights. They're driven on social media. People can check in through the ballpark app and get some prizes and discounts. So there's a lot of different things happening in there. You're definitely going to want to check it out every time you come to the ballpark. And then on top of that, we introduced this year this really, really cool virtual reality batting cage that's over at the depot at Gate 5. So, like, people literally can go in there, put on the virtual reality mask, and pick up a bat. And these centers put you right in at home plate at Guaranteed Rate Field in a home run derby-style kind of challenge simulation. So people can
now do that.
That sounds so cool.
It's really cool, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah, but at least you can't get hit by the ball, because that's what my fear is.
Sheena, I give you guys such high marks for realizing that the experience is a family experience. The White Sox are the best, I think, in all of baseball, of realizing, bring your family, come on out as a family and enjoy a game. You do it so well.
And the fundamentals are perfect for bringing the kids. Our kids have gone through all that running up against Scotty Podsednik and all that stuff. Really family fun.
It's actually changed this year, so you'll have to bring the kids up to check it out. It's actually called now this year the Xfinity Kids Zone, and we've updated some of the activities up there. So now you can race against Tim Anderson and measure up with Frank Thomas. So there are some really, really fun activities. Still a lot of the same things with the Bull Sox Academy up there teaching like the basics, but it's such a great spot for kids to run around, see Southpaw, and take photos.
I love Southpaw. He's my buddy.
Wendy really loves him, Sheena. It's almost unnatural. I don't want to talk about it.
Southpaw.
Sheena, it was so nice to talk to you, and we at WGN are so excited about this partnership of our station and your baseball team. We're hoping for nothing but the best in the future.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Far more pleasant singing voice than I do, Wendy. I don't want to get in the way.
We're at Cork and Carry, right across from beautiful White Sox Park. It's opening day, the home opener for your first place Chicago White Sox. And what an honor it is to finally meet the legendary Ed Farmer. Ed, how are you?
Well, I'm not well rested, but I'm ready for opening day, as everybody here is, of course.
You just got back from where? Toronto?
Yeah, we went through Canadian Customs even though we were leaving. I don't understand that. I just walked backwards out, so they thought I was coming in.
They thought you were bringing back some pharmaceuticals. Yeah, that's what they thought.
You smuggled in some maple syrup for us, huh? It's very nice of you.
They've got a dollar in there. They've got the leaves to prove it.
So good of you to do. You know what I learned about you the other day? Both you and I had the same baseball glove as we were growing up.
The A2000.
The Wilson A2000.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mine had a little loop on it, so you could put your index finger out of it.
Yeah.
To get hurt.
I thought you didn't want your finger outside because you could break it.
Wendy, your question, maybe we want each other. I do know something.
Well, I know you do it, but most people in Little League, they tell you not to do that anymore.
Right.
No. Why do they do that?
It's because you're going to break your finger.
But it braces if you're touching, well, you know this, of course, a hard hit ball, I'm telling you.
That's because you had the same bit.
I do know that. I never used it, but I do know that.
You've seen the gloves from olden days when it was like a three-fingered glove, right?
I think I had one of those. Or
did you have one?
No.
What was the thought process behind the three-fingered glove?
I think it was a cross between high line and baseball.
Is that what it was?
You'd go down to Miami and play with that glove and make some money.
Catch the penalty.
The penalty. In the Guante.
How exciting is this year's White Sox and the next year's and the year after that? We've got momentum finally.
We have a team that this doesn't happen a lot, that the young guys and the veterans, which there's a few of,
yeah,
they all seem to love one another.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like. I mean, they come in the dugout together and somebody's going to say, hey, let's go. We need to score some runs. And they're able to do that. We had a bump in the road. Toronto played better than we did. Played the last 3 innings better than we did on the first game. And then the second game, they scored 7 in the 8th and beat us 14-5.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in a 3-0 pitch, I said, Abreu, I think he's got a great life here, and he hit it into the restaurant. Incoming, and somebody said, I'll have that. And that's how we won. Yeah.
And that's so important to work as a team. I mean, I'll say it. The Cubs did it the year they won. The Blackhawks have done it. It's the Sox haven't had that camaraderie in a few years. It's nice to see it's happening again.
And it's a melding of different personalities, and not everybody's going to get along with everybody else. But these guys, they actually care about one another, and they're joined by one thing. We're going to hustle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're conjoined with another one. We're going to win.
Yeah.
We want to win at all costs. They don't quit. And they run the bases. And if you watch them on defense, everybody's moving to cover the base behind who's going to cover the one. And it's like poetry in motion.
Yeah. So do you think that this starts with Ricky Renteria?
Oh, there's a question.
It does, doesn't it?
It comes from the top with Kenny Williams and also with Rick on. But it translates all the way through. It transfuses down to the players through Renteria. And he was my third baseman the last year I played.
Yeah.
And he said that again in front of everybody in the clubhouse. And I said, the reason he's not a manager is because I shortened his life playing baseball with those Rockets.
What do you miss the most about not playing yourself? You can get to see a lot of baseball, but what do you miss the most about suiting up and playing every day?
That's a great question. I miss the action of the game. I was never nervous. I made the baseball team in Cleveland when I was 18 years old. I beat Claude Osteen at what became Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego and made the team. And Harrison was the first baseman. And he said some things important to me. I get to meet Sandy Koufax, one of my dear friends, showed me to refine my curveball. I miss that engagement in the dugout with that. But also in the bullpen, you have the guys in the dugout and you have guys in the bullpen. And I used to do different things during the game to take pressure off some of the other guys. I told the trainer, Herb Snyder, who has a happy birthday yesterday, from the team, sung that to him on the plane.
Aww.
And I told him, if you don't wave to us, we're in Anaheim. If you don't wave to us, we're going to be standing. They just finished the enclosure of Angel Stadium. They made the football thing. That's where the Rams play.
Yeah.
So they added like 25,000 seats in the outfield. There was nothing out there. It stopped at the foul poles, basically.
Yeah.
So we sat in those bleachers. They weren't open yet. And I said, in the third inning, if you don't get up on the warning track in front of the dugout, we're not sitting down. We're going to start waving at you. So everybody gets up in the third inning. We're waving at them. We're in the left field bullpen. And he's in the first base dugout. And LaRusso looks out there and he sees all of us standing waving. And he goes, Herm, do you know what's going on out there? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, what's going on out there in that bullpen? And he goes, they're not going to sit down until I wave back. He goes, so we got your fanny up on the warning track and wave. He waved and we all sat down. But those were some of the things that I missed. And also Kangaroo Court.
Yeah.
I was the judge in Kangaroo Court. And
explain to
people what,
don't know.
I don't know what that is. I'll explain. Be honest.
The manager doesn't have to discipline everybody. So the players take that on themselves. If you embarrass the club, that was a fine. I had a fine for fraternization with the other team. You were allowed 2 minutes. And then once the 2 minutes ended, they started ticking off the dollars. So if you went past 2 minutes, you paid for these first 2 minutes with $2. And guys, the mantra was, that's a fine, that's a fine. And you police yourselves. And it becomes a laughable thing that you have it once a month in the clubhouse, at home, and we have a docket of all the cases, and nobody ever won. So, we never won. So, we sent some of the money to charity, and then they have a party, a team party.
Oh, nice.
When you're saying goodbye at the end of the season on the road, the last road trip would have that. And LaRusso came out to argue a play at Comiskey Park, and his foot got caught on the top step of the dugout. For one of the few times we were wearing that white uniform with the collar on it. Not very pretty anyway.
No.
Most comfortable uniform I've ever worn.
Not pretty.
And he fell flat out of space in the mud because he didn't drain well. He got up and his uniform was all orange. And he didn't go out to argue the play, so I fined him $1,000. Or not sticking up for his team.
Beautiful.
And it was something like this. I had a wig. Yeah. I had a black cassock. And I had Herm got a gamble that was about 3.5 feet long. And I would have the garbage can of course on session. So he was the last case on the docket. And I said to Lamar Johnson, it was the bailiff. Big guy. Nobody's getting away with it. They're going to pay the fine.
Yeah.
So I said, go get Mr. LaRusso. So Tony comes out and goes, What's my fine? I said, $1,000. He goes, I'm not paying. I said, oh, you're not paying. Somebody said, I want the judge to understand this. I'm on the judicial board of the state of Florida. I said, I'm recognized by the court, Mr. LaRusso, but in this jurisdiction of Comiskey Park, it has no weight whatsoever with the said judge. And I really wanted to get under his skin. I said, do you understand what I'm saying? He shook his head, yes. I said, you've been in court before. I've made an audible response. If I don't get one, then that fine's going to double.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I said, do you want me to hear this case because you can pay that $1,000? Right now, nobody's ever won, and if you lose, it's going to be $2,000. He goes, yeah, I want you to be a serious judge, and I want you to do this. I said, do not tell this court how they're supposed to rule out a case. So now he's very upset.
I would think.
He lost, and he goes, he dropped something on me that I didn't like him saying, so the fine was $2,500.
Oh, wow.
I said, Mr. Johnson, go to Mr. LaRusso's office and get a check for $2,500.
Yeah.
He paid it from that moment on, from August to the end of the year. That's a fine from LaRusso. That's a fine. He's getting his money back. Yeah. But,
that's so much fun.
Yeah, it was great. And everybody loved it because we could actually get out the manager with some latitude.
Of course.
And when we took the field, we were all together on the field. We weren't very good, but we were all together. Because if you look at it, those guys got better and better. That's when they won. And won the World Series up to now.
Are you writing a book soon? Because you have so many stories.
No.
Why?
You won't do it?
No, I've got some papers that I did for studying some medicine. I'm allowed to go to the lab at Harvard and study stem cells. I'm a transplant patient, 27 years.
Wow.
Post-transplant on a kidney. My brother Tom gave me a kidney.
I know that story. That's amazing.
If I can help somebody like that more, I'm happy to help them.
Oh. Yeah.
How are you on time, Ed? Do you have a little bit of time?
We have to take a break. At 3:10.
So you're okay?
Yeah.
You're sticking out under the segment? The legendary Ed Farmer, incredible White Sox broadcaster, is our guest. We'll stick around. We'll take a quick break. It's Bill and Wendy. We're at Cork and Carry, right by beautiful White Sox Park. It's the home opener for your first place Chicago White Sox. We're fortunate enough to talk to Ed Farmer, the legendary Ed Farmer. Ed, Wendy.
I've got some donuts in the car if you guys want.
Do you have more donuts in the car?
No, I've got.
We were told you'd bring donuts, but we're good.
I got a McPherson's Bakery out there on Pearl Ridge. It's outstanding.
That's so good. Are they the best?
Oh, they're the
DJ
best.
DJ will eat them, right?
No.
Why? You don't share?
He told me today, he goes, I can't eat them. So I said, what is that? He goes, well, we got it at 3. That has no jurisdiction on what you're going to eat there.
Would you mind talking a little bit about Disco Demolition? You were pitching that night.
Yeah, I pitched that night.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about
the second game was canceled.
I remember. Against the Tigers.
Yeah, against the Tigers.
Yeah.
And I pitched the last 3 innings of the game. Game 1, because game 2 did not happen. And there were disco records being thrown out of the upper deck.
Like Frisbees. Yeah. Like they could decapitate
you. There were no LPs out there, let me say that. And they made the deal. But, yeah, I was pitching. I stomped on a disco record, and 45 flew by me. And we were picking those up, and then Steve Gall had the bonfire in center field.
Yeah.
And,
which surprised
swarmed,
even him.
People swarmed the field. And people were tearing up pieces of sound. Roger Bosworth, the best groundskeeper in baseball,
was crying.
He had to redo the infield. And we went on that field, and we played the Tigers in a doubleheader. And the sound was just, it wasn't even set yet because it hadn't knitted. And we played on that field. At one time, that field, Comiskey Park, was not a real good drainage thing. So Roger put in a system, and we never really had a problem with that.
Yeah. Was it the strangest thing you've ever seen in baseball?
Yeah, they told us it was not going, the second game wasn't going to happen, so we could get out of there. We had a 2x6 or 4x8 across the door to the clubhouse from the field.
Yeah.
And that was getting distressed from the weight on it because people wanted to come to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
And I'm sure they had a few libations.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Journey up the dugout steps.
Yeah. And they have tried to make some changes to baseball to make it a faster game.
Yeah.
If they said to you, Ed, you make a rule change. You can change anything you want about Major League Baseball. What would your rule change be?
Get the batter in the batter's box fast. Have the pitcher throw 4 pitches when he's ready to go.
Yeah.
I threw 3. When I came into the game, I only threw 3 pitches. I was loose already. I'd say to the umpire, get him in the batter's box right now. So I was dictating policy to the hitter before he actually got in the batter's box.
Yeah.
And if anybody gave me any lip, then we just took care of that.
Right.
So that
but what happened? Why did it all of a sudden slow down so much? People demanded more and better pitches? They're pickier? What?
No, I mean, the manager goes out there, the pitching coach goes out there, the catcher can make as many trips as he wants, so that's been curtailed somewhat. But I really didn't want to see the catcher out there. It made me nervous.
Right.
You know, this is what we're trying to do. This, please, don't give me that, because I want to keep the ball down until strike 1.
Yeah.
And long counts lead to teams that don't play usually a good defense because they get bored with ball 1, ball 2.
Right.
Now everything is sabermetrics, which I use some of that, but I want to see what the guy's got in his chest beating himself.
Sure.
If he's ready to play, we can do great things.
Do you think Tony La Russa, you mentioned Tony La Russa earlier.
He has a little landscape of the bullpen.
He was the guy who kind of figured it all out, wasn't he?
He said, you're responsible for this because I threw 116 or 118 innings 1 year as a short man.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything short about that. What he did was he got a guy, he believed in building your pitching staff back to front.
Yeah.
You need someone to close the game out or you're not going to win.
Yep.
So I was that guy. Then he had somebody in front of me that they called the bridge to get to me.
Yeah.
And he played a shortened game. He pitched count, he had that. Starter was going to go 5 or 6, and if he was cruising, he'd go out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would change the dynamic of the long guy. He was going to pitch because he went 7. So the guy from the 7th and 8th inning and then the 9th inning.
Yeah. He really was an innovator in that respect.
Yeah, no question. No gray area.
Yeah.
To this day, one of my dear friends, I called him the other day about a transplant patient in Boston trying to raise money for a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
I said, one day, some tickets for donation. It goes, no problem. Fenway sold out.
Oh. How about that?
Yeah.
When you made the transition from player to broadcaster, who were you emulating? Who were you looking at from the broadcast side and said, I would like to be more like that guy?
Well, I lived fairly close to Vin Scully in California. He shops at the same bookstore.
Yeah.
And Ernie Harwell, when I was in Detroit, I thought he did a great job.
Two of the best.
I know. Mr. Scully, when I see him in Albertsons out there, I bombard him with questions. I stole this from you. If you hear me, I'll say, very pleasant good evening, or very pleasant good afternoon.
Yeah.
That's how he starts his broadcast, or used to. And I say, I've Jim Nance, I think he's one of the best in football and also golf. He played in the golf team at Houston with one of my close friends, Freddie Couples. And I got to meet him about 7 or 8 years ago. And I wrote a book about his father. His father had Alzheimer's disease. On page 57 of his book, when I met him, I said, I use friends from you. That's what he meant. I said, when they put the camera on you after they showed the topography of St. Pebble Beach,
yeah,
or the stadium, the football game from. Play that. They put the camera on him after they show you.
Yeah.
And he'll say, hi once again, friends. Jim Nance here.
Yeah.
And I read the book. And I said, I read that book on your dad. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I have a photographic memory to a point where I link things together.
Yeah.
If you guys come over today, I don't write a lot of stuff down. I just don't. I read before the game and I'll have little words to take me to the next call.
Yeah.
And I said, page 57 of your dad's
book. Wow.
Always by my side. Paragraph 3. His dad had Alzheimer's and he would forget your name, but he'd say to somebody, he'd say, hi, Doug, how are you?
Yeah.
So when I say, with your Jackson friends at Farmer, glad you're with us tonight. It's the first of three here in Toronto.
Personalizes it.
Yeah.
Vince Scully also had this theory of letting the moment speak for itself.
Nobody better.
Right? He's so
one
good.
One of the best calls was silence for him.
Yeah.
And then one of his greatest calls was when Gibson hit the home run off Eckers Lake. And he said, he couldn't walk.
Right.
He comes up and he hits a home run on a 3-2 slider.
Yep.
And he goes, in the year where the impossible has happened, the improbable happens tonight here at Dodger Stadium in the World Series.
Wow.
I mean, he used Zephyr Wind one day, and I was listening to the Freeway Series. I had to go home and look up what a Zephyr Wind was. It was less than 7 miles an hour. So all day there, I'm saying, I got to get Zephyr Wind in. So I said, here at T. Gray Field there in Chicago, the game will be playing temperatures exceeding 65, but never crossing the threshold of 70. And I look at the flag, and it's pointing straight down, and I said, not a Zephyr Wind.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I said to Scully, I said, those were some of the big ones, steal. He goes, steal as much as you want.
What's the fastest pitch you ever threw?
100 miles an hour.
And what is the fastest now that's out there?
We had 103 from a couple guys in spring training.
Yeah, 103.
Yeah, 103.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell a very short story because I know we're pressed for time. But I was coming in here to do scout the White Sox. They made changes, and I had to see him. I was assistant general manager in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to come in and figure out, and I wonder what Wayne Hagen was doing the game with John Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
And John had CBS radio on Sunday, and Hagen was quizzing me about this or that. And he goes, if you could come up with me tomorrow, I don't have anybody in the booth with me, you could help me. I said, well, I'm going home. I've been on the road. I'm in Baltimore here for 2 weeks. I'm going home to see my family tomorrow. The flight's at 11 o'clock. He goes, you can really help me. So I called my wife, and Barbara said, sure, let's have 3 hours. Just stay there and help the guy out.
Yeah.
So I did, and when I was done with that, he took me to O'Hare, and Hagen did it. He goes, that was excellent. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, that was excellent. And the next week, they were in Oakland. And he said, next week, we're in Oakland. If you want, I only had 400,000 air miles. That's what I had. Because I was staying at Marriott. I had the American Airlines credit card. I was quadrupling everything. And I flew up to Oakland and did it. And flew back home.
Yeah.
And
but I got to say it, because I was hearing you when you would do those phone assignments, and I always say to myself, he sounds like he's been doing this forever.
when I went home, I didn't know how to do play-by-play.
Yeah.
And I was the analyst on Sunday, so I came over. I was still trying to figure this one out. They gave me a better job than I had in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And they made me the special assistant and senior vice president of baseball operations. I still don't know what that is.
That sounds good, though.
I looked for it, but I haven't had it since. And I had radio duties as an analyst on Sundays because John was going on CBS Radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I basically butchered one inning. They had me do one inning. I didn't know how to get in and out of it. And I went home and I was taking my daughter Shanda, who was a commercial artist and also a model, print model in Los Angeles. And I started doing the Twins and White Sox. You know, it's a parking lot on Wednesday night going into Hollywood.
Yeah.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, that's when she had to go.
4 o'clock.
I'll be there by 6. And then another night was Friday. So I'm in traffic and I said, this is going to be a poetic measure for a kid that I'm not getting. It's okay. Pete was a little telling the story at the end of it. It's got to be iambic pentameter. So I started doing the Twins and White Sox. And after a month, my daughter goes, Dad, I don't want to hear the Twins and White Sox.
We cannot thank you enough for coming by. I know first pitch is 3-something.
3:10, I must say.
3:10.
I will call you every day if I see you. I'll tell you when that first pitch
is. You know what? Please
because
do.
It's confusing. I was confused the other night. We're coming out at 6:07. We came out of Chicago time. We came out at 5:59.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm shocked with Goose Island being a sponsor now of the White Sox that the start time isn't 3:12 and I remember 3:12
there. Yeah, exactly.
That would make all kinds of sense. It used to be a 7-Eleven start when 7-Eleven sponsored
it. Why is it 7-Eleven if they were open 24 hours?
I don't know.
That is the best
place. No, no.
Come on. These things drive me nuts. If he had good success, I hope so. He's a young freshman. Yeah, please.
Let's go White Sox. The season opener today, the wonderful at Farmer.
McShields against George Zimmerman should be a good one, and hopefully we'll call a winner. Everybody here at Cork and Cary, hopefully we'll see you across the street at Guaranteed Rate Fields. Have a pleasure being with you, too.
Have a great call today.
And see you again. Also.
Look out for those Zephyr winds. They're supposed to be pretty tumultuous today.
I'm glad it's only a Zephyr day because it's cold outside.
The legendary Ed Farmer, everybody. Back after this, Bill and Wendy at Cork and Cary on WGN.
Shuffling crew, shuffle on down. Doing it for you. They're so bad, they know they're good. Eating you still like they knew they would. You know they're just strong for fun. From themselves for everyone. They're not here to start no trouble. They're just here to do the World Series shuffle.
These all commercial fans call him Paul Lee. Without a doubt, he's the MVP. Swatting home runs left and right. They leave a vapor trail on into the night. They're the Fantastic Four, starters that is. When hitters come to bat, they swing and miss. Jose, Freddie, Johnny Burley, leave him here at strike one, strike two, and strike three. He's Joe Creedy, better known as Joe Clutch. When he's in the zone, there's no pitch he can't touch. Guarding third base with the greatest of ease, he makes the toughest plays look like a freeze. He's Big Bobby Jenks, and he can bring the heat. When hitters get too close, he knocks them off their feet. 100 plus gas and off speed pitches make opposing hitters look like bitches.
He gone. White side!
All right, that was wild. I forgot about good old Bobby Jenks.
Bobby Jenks, mercy.
Thank you, Hawk.
The big right-handed.
We are live from Cork and Cary at the park, your go-to spot for ice-cold Goose Island beer before and after every game. You can look out over my left shoulder and see the park, Guaranteed Rate Field.
Is it always over your left shoulder like
yes,
that?
Yes, it is. It's
I didn't
know like
that about you.
It's got to be hard for you to pull a log like that. It's impressive. Nice.
Can I just tell you, I'm working with like 2 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the menu at Cork and Cary.
What do you have?
Well, I don't know. The Irish egg rolls, deep deliciousness with corned beef, cabbage, and Irish cheddar. I mean, doesn't that sound good?
And there's Lucky Charms inside, too, Wendy. I've had them. They're so good.
They're delicious.
Well, they got to know just when to pull them from the fire so the charms don't melt. It's not easily done.
It's very tough.
But then I point to pulled pork.
What?
Huh? And Bill laughs. Yep. And then you make a pulled pork joke. He had a 10-year-old boy here.
I didn't laugh. It seemed to make a joke. It's all in your head.
Brian Newton, please save me.
Brian Newton, let me just say this. I didn't appreciate, first of all, that you gave the Ozzie Guillen call in for Bobby Jenks. You gave me the big signal. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm giant again. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
earlier today I met one of my all-time idols, Ed Farmer, and now I meet a second idol, you. What a day this has been for me.
That's true. I had a storied career in the majors. It was phenomenal. Until that one day I blew out the rotator cuff.
You had a cup of coffee with the Phillies, and when I say a cup of coffee, you drove to Philadelphia.
Right.
And they bought you a cup of coffee.
I bumped into Mike Schmidt at a diner. We had a cup of coffee. That was it.
Was it true Larry Bowie spit in the cup? Did he do that?
He came over and he attempted to spit in the cup, yes, but my cat-like reflexes saved my breath and beverage.
How lucky.
Now, Steve Bertrand is going to be here for the Wintrust Business Lunch, and he just informed me that Brian Newman's going to be on his show, too.
I didn't just inform you.
I'm like a gypsy.
Are you talking Fortune 500 companies?
I have some investment opportunities that I'm looking for listeners to get involved in. It's very exciting. Travel plans that I must discuss.
Yeah, sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me.
Well, some say Ponzi, some say pyramid, some say just shut up, Bill, and let the people send their money.
Brian, I have a question for you. Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
Are
you having the pulled pork?
I'm sorry.
Is that a new Sox hat? And I will explain this if you're not here, because I am a big fan of the Batter Man. I love that White Sox logo. I have a very old Sox hat with the Batter Man.
And this I got last year as a birthday.
Is that
so? It's a year old.
He played for
Batter
the
Man.
No, this logo is. I enjoy this logo myself.
I don't know if it's that retro feel.
Yeah.
I just totally love it. How about the pajamas that they wore that year?
I was never a fan of the pajamas. First of all, I don't look good in white. And secondly, the little schoolgirl collar didn't do it for me. And culottes are never a good sport.
You don't enjoy the culottes?
I don't enjoy the culottes. I'm still a purist. I like the guys to wear like the knickers,
yes,
but not the culottes.
Right.
I want to see some calf and some tall socks.
Yes. I want to ask that question. And I know that Ed Farmer mentioned that he wore that collared pajama jersey.
He said very comfortable.
Right.
But not starter.
Right.
That's why they're not winning in those uniforms, because they don't want to take a nap.
Right.
Go lay it out in the dugout, have some cookies and milk, and just sleep for the afternoon.
Here's my question.
Yes, ma'am.
As I've been watching the White Sox play ever since I've been a little girl sitting on my grandpa's lap, I love the knickers, as you mentioned, mm-hmm, but you see players now that it's all over the board. Some people tuck their pants into their socks, but the majority of people have these pants that are dragging.
Right.
And it drives me nuts.
I keep thinking they need a team tailor to come in and hem those pants, because the break of those pants is way too, there's too much flooding
at
the bottom.
Aren't they going to trip
on
that?
I would think so.
They need to be gathered.
Dangerous hazard.
And then the chain will pop up and hit them right in the forehead.
Someone told the players those socks were called stirrups.
Like, I'm not wearing stirrups,
and ladies.
That's it.
And then that's why I'm wearing those socks.
Yep.
I love those socks.
Yeah.
Stirrups, yeah.
Yeah, I like that look.
That's a classic look. School.
Remember the year the Baltimore Orioles wore only stirrups? That's all they wore?
That was my favorite season of baseball, I'm telling you.
It was Jim Palmer, was it?
The round.
Jim Palmer, Mike Brown.
My balls on the field.
Yeah. I tried for the catcher every game.
Yes.
I was just like, oh, dude,
that's a dangerous line of work.
That is a wild pitch.
That's good.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you think of all the moments you've experienced, either in person or on television or on radio? What is the key moment for the White Sox? What's the one that always stands out?
I still remember, and it was after the World Series, the play Burley made on opening day where he threw the ball through his legs to first base to get the out. I still can picture that day and watching that game.
Yeah.
His perfect game. I got a call. I was sitting at home and somebody called me and said, "You got to turn on the TV. Burley's got a perfect game." So those, you know,
there
I go back to those.
There was one particular play in the perfect game that is my all-time craziest moment.
The catch?
Dwayne Wise making a move, like as soon as the pitch was thrown, he knew where the ball was going. I've seen it 1,000 times. It never makes sense to me. He just instinctually knew exactly where to run and when to leave.
And then to get up that high and grab it at the
greatest
top of the
play I've ever seen in baseball.
Yeah.
It's so nice that I know we've been hearing that the White Sox have been rebuilding, and they have been. I mean, it's been kind of dismal.
Right. And you can only hold on to a 13-year-old World Series win for so long.
Let's get another one.
But they're showing that this could be. I know we're still rebuilding.
Oh, sure. We got a couple years. But if you watched at the end of last season, it was exciting. Because it sounds cliche, but it's true. They never quit. You know, even though the results weren't always what we had hoped for. they showed something, and they're showing. I heard you talking to Ed Former about the chemistry that this team has, and it's true. And these young guys, they're buying in, and Rick Hahn is finally in control and being able to do what he wants to do.
Right.
And so I think, you know, it's going to be a fun couple years.
They never quit to the extent where last year after nine innings, sometimes they would have the lower score at the end of nine innings. They would still go out on the field, and somebody have to say to them, guys, we can't play beyond nine innings.
Well, then they bring out, what was nice is they bring out the grounds crew, and they placate these guys.
Yes.
All right, we'll another couple hours.
Right.
We'll give you one more hour, but then we really must
close it up.
We
have to.
The sod father is like, listen, fellas, I got to put some organizer down. We got things to do.
Yep.
I am very jealous. Andrea Darlis this morning, I don't know if you guys were listening, but she got to blow off the fireworks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I know you couldn't see him. I was on the Stevenson looking for him. But she actually got to hit the button.
Cool.
So, like, we have to try and, like...
Yeah, we got to get something.
Yeah, I want to do that.
They need to keep a couple stock of people who were actually Sox fans before this year, right?
Can I just say, and Brian, it is so nice for you to be here. I know I tease Bill. He really, truly loves both teams.
I know, but I still don't understand.
I don't either.
All these years.
I just do.
You're the only one I know that really, you don't have
games.
A bad thing to say about either team.
No.
I do. I don't like royal blue. It looks terrible on me.
You're a girl who likes black.
I do, but it's so nice to be at a radio station where I can wear all my White Sox memorabilia.
Sure.
That is a gear, I guess.
Yeah, well.
And wear it proudly.
Yes, it's very nice. All the years of being one of the few people who like the White Sox at the station,
all of a sudden it makes sense.
Yeah.
Although, on days where there was the Crosstown Classic, did you sport your Sox?
Oh, yeah, and there was never a secret about my allegiance. But,
me neither.
Right. It was, for a guy who lives in the shadows normally, Brian, it was the one thing you were always proud of.
That's not because of my team allegiance. There's all the legalities that are involved.
Whatever happens, happens. All right, let's do this. We must take a break. Thank you, Brian Noonan.
Thank you, guys.
For a little bit.
My
our
pleasure.
Friend Brian Noonan. When we return, we have some White Sox tickets, a four-pack to give away to this Sunday's baseball game against the Visitors.
Ooh,
one of the toughest teams in all of baseball, the Visitors. Stick around for that and more. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we have a bunch of true... Are you guys true White Sox fans? Diehard White Sox fans? Live and die by the White Sox? All right.
How is this going to work? Can I just ask you a question?
I will ask the question. They will know the answer.
Okay, but there are many of them, and we only have one four-pack of tickets. I love live radio.
What's the best way to play it, do you think? For them to shout out the answer or to raise their hand politely?
How much have you been drinking? A lot? A little?
A lot.
Maybe they should yell out their name and put their hand up.
Yell out your name when you know the answer to this.
Not the answer.
Your name is not the correct answer.
Right.
But you have to get the microphone in front of you.
No, there's no notes, sir. We don't have time for notes. All right, the question is this. In baseball history, many players have had the last names of...
First of all, can I just tell you something? I think your name is Brian. You would have been disqualified because you yelled out the answer. You got to yell out your name. I've been drinking more than you, and I even know that.
Uh-oh. All right, in baseball history, a lot of players have had last names that are body parts. For instance, Raleigh Fingers, the relief pitcher for the Oakland A's and San Diego Padres. Fingers, Bill Hands, who pitched for the Cubs. Barry Foote, a catcher. Elroy Face. Name a White Sox player whose last name is a human body part.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
So, again, yell out your name and raise your hand so we can see and hear you.
And if no one
knows the answers, we're going to the game
on
Sunday.
You and I are going to the game on Sunday. Steve, you come with us?
Absolutely.
Violetta, you're in? Well, I'll go on Sunday if none of you know the answer. Again, many baseball players have had last names that are human body parts. Raleigh Fingers, Elroy Face, Bill Hands. But name a White Sox player whose last name, Steve, is a body part.
Wait, you're not eligible.
Greg Luzinski?
It is not Greg Luzinski, Steve.
Well, it's almost Carlton Fisk.
It's almost Carlton. There's a lot that are almost.
Again,
it has to be a last name. It has to be a last name.
A current player? No.
Not a current player, no.
I've never seen a group of White Sox fans so quiet.
I know. See what it's like working with a Bill Left? So, this is like crazy crap.
This is very hard.
Can we get an era, maybe?
One of them pitched for the White Sox about 10 years ago.
Okay, so you got
another
pitcher.
Played center field for the White Sox.
Oh, there are several.
Yeah. I got two. Yeah.
What is your name?
Brian. No, don't do it.
Brian?
Yes, do it. Go ahead.
Lance Johnson?
I will accept Lance Johnson.
That is.
I will accept that.
So tickets are gone.
The answer I was looking for was Bartolo Colon, but Lance Johnson is an acceptable answer.
Okay, no,
answer.
It's not colon.
It's spelled.
Yeah, but it's
spelled
not
the same. I got to go with the spelling, Wendy.
Oh, my God. A 4-pack of tickets you can go on Sunday?
All right, I want you to call your mom and tell her the right answer.
And what is your name again? Brian.
Brian, you must be very proud.
A round of applause for everybody who tried. It was difficult.
Wow. All the contestants' names were Brian. We had eight contestants, each of them named Brian. Strangest thing I ever saw, Wendy. Well, that's going to be it for us. I want to thank everybody who came out today to Cork and Carry. That was a lot of fun. Marlene, as always, puts out an incredible spread. Anytime there's a remote, we always have a good time. Adam Phillips was amazing. He always is. Ben Cortez back in the studio.
Cassara is also
helping. Oh, Cassara helped out. Yeah.
And Jasmine did a great job.
Steve Bertrand was lovely.
Ed Farmer for coming out.
Ed Farmer's the best.
You weren't really, that's the first time you ever met him.
I'd never met Ed Farmer before. And
you were like a little boy going to a baseball game.
That's what it felt like.
It was really cute.
I've been watching him since I was 11 years old. And he was sitting right where you're sitting, Steve.
Do we know the donuts thing yet? Can we see?
No, I don't know anything about this, but when
apparently Mr. Farmer, anytime he goes anywhere, has donuts with him.
He asked me to go to his car to get some donuts with him.
I'm sure it was on the up
and
up.
That's what he said.
Is Ed Farmer dealing in edibles now? He did just come back from Canada.
I don't know. He must have been at Tim Hortons out in Canada. And he
that must have been it.
I can't explain it beyond that, Steve. I wish I could.
Can we thank Cork and Carry at the park as well?
They were nice.
We're going to take a break, but really, this is where I'm going to get the patio melt. Look at this. What a great place to come to before and after the game, and congratulations to Goose Island 312. They are now one of the craft beer teammates
craft beer? Yeah.
Of Comiskey, of you, not Comiskey, of the White Sox.
Had you not had six of those craft beer, you're
guaranteed great field, Wendy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then stick around because the fun continues with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand, John Williams will be here, Rowan, Anna, Violetta Padromedic, everyone's here. We are live, and it's WGN.
We are broadcasting live from Cork and Carry at the park, enjoying ice-cold Goose Island beer. Stop by. Cork and Carry at the park is at 33rd and Princeton, just a couple blocks from the field. It's the place to go before and after the game. Cork and Carry at the park has great food, too. Amazing burgers, Italian beef, sausage, and other Chicago favorites, all served with fries and a Chicago accent. That's right. Tastes even better with Goose Island beer. Go to corkandcarryatthepark.com if you'd like more info.
I might have to have another Goose Island 312 Urban Wheat Ale. Steve Bertrand is going to continue now. He's got the Wintrust Business Lunch. What do you have coming up?
Yeah, we'll talk a little business. Brooks Boyer will be here, the Senior Vice President of Marketing for the White Sox, as they sell this team. And also, we're going to talk to Scott Steven, from Guaranteed Rate. They got a really cool program that will help kids in the neighborhood doing good things come to the ballpark.
Oh, very nice.
So
very, very nice.
That's what's coming up in the next 60 minutes.
Go White Sox!